into our final segment on the morning roundup. Just about to finish out the hour. We're going to jump right into high school basketball, and we're going to swing it over to Derek Decker, getting us the recap last night between Dodge City Split with Garden Plain. Starting with the girls game, Derek, I know not a lot of offensive firepower, but what really fell through there for the Lady Demons?
Well, when you look at it, Baylen, this is a team that has struggled to shoot the basketball really all season long. And talking to Kelly Snodgrass before the game, she said, man, we worked on shooting a ton over the Christmas break, and we have just got to be better. They shot just 7 of 33 in the game, Baylen, 21%, and they turned it over 16 times. So they turned it over almost half as many total times as they took shots in the game, and that's just not a recipe for success. 10 points for Becca Unruh. For the group, they were also -8 on the boards. Not a whole lot went right for this team. They were shut out in the second quarter, and then they actually briefly took the lead in the fourth quarter before being outscored 17-5 in the final frame. They actually led going into the fourth quarter, and they had to try to speed up the game because they felt like they weren't getting the shot attempts that they needed. They were not getting the looks that they needed in the second half, so they started gambling a little on defense, try to speed Garden Plain up. And they started 5 seniors in this Garden Plain team that was very experienced, brought back a ton from their team last season. And so they pulled away for the victory. And I just think this Lady Demon team right now, as Coach Snodgrass put it on the postgame show last night, needs to be better at decision-making. She said, it feels like we want to push the pace when we need to slow down. We want to, you know, we slow down when we need to push the pace. There's just not enough good decision-making going on the floor right now, and they fell for their third straight loss, and they go to 1-5 now on the season. On the boys' side, though, Baylen, they got a win 67-57, a game where really they probably should have won by more, but the reason they didn't is because they were outboarded 42-23. They gave up a ton of offensive rebounds. They allowed 18 offensive rebounds to Garden Plain, kept them in the game, a lot of second-chance points, kind of hanging around. Garden Plain did a nice job battling in the fourth quarter, but really Isaiah Taylor took over the game in the final frame, made some plays off the dribble, got into the lane a few times. His attacking ability to get downhill and get into the lane, not only score at the rim, but to draw fouls as well, was the difference maker in the final quarter and allowed Dodge City to pull away for the win, their second victory of the year, and they go now to 2-4.
Well, it's nice to see the boys pick up a win. It had felt like that they'd been progressively getting better throughout the year, and able to cap it off with a win against Garden Plain. Now, presumably, the boys getting set for conference. What needs to continue for the boys on that side of things after building off of this 10-point win?
Well, I think for the boys, it really comes down to continuing to take care of the basketball. 13 turnovers in the game last night. It's a big-time improvement. They averaged 20 a game coming into the new year here, and only 13 last night. But I think the biggest difference, especially in conference play, when things get a little bit more physical, you have to be good on the boards. And they were not good at all last night, and they haven't been all year. And Coach Shane Trauber has said that several times to me, to his players, obviously. Like, the rebounding has to get way better, and he just feels like, man, we're out of position. You know, we just were not ready to make the plays that we needed to make on the boards. He also was not pleased with the defensive effort last night at all. He said we were asleep. We fell asleep in bad places in the fourth quarter especially. So he felt like, you know, he's like, look, it's our second win, so I'm not going to be too upset about it, but I feel like we can get way better on defense. And I think the biggest thing for Dodge City isn't so much the defense, although that is important. It's definitely improving in rebounding, because if they're able to do that, they'll be more competitive. They have to shut down second-chance opportunities. They have given up way too many of those, too many offensive rebounds for teams so far this year, and that's the key to their continued rise throughout the non-conference. Then they prepare for Trinity on Saturday in their last non-conference slate before conference slate gets rolling. But, of course, they'll have a couple of their non-cons with the Tournament of Champions coming up in a couple of weeks.
You always feel like rebounding can be the great equalizer in high school basketball in particular, whether that's denying second-chance opportunities or grabbing second-chance opportunities for yourself. And it's always a way to really jumpstart a team that has maybe struggled offensively. And I think you're going to see that for Dodge City moving forward and maybe some of the other teams in our area. Derek, we're going to keep it in Dodge City. Obviously, you're not going to be in Dodge City, but you're heading down to Independence. You do have a matchup with the Pirates. What are you looking forward to in this matchup for Dodge City? Both teams in first place as far as the women and the men. They're both ranked. They've had a really, really great start. Dodge City coming off of a loss, which isn't really familiar territory for them this season. Not too many in the loss category, considering two of them are from Indian Hills. What are you looking for in both matchups tonight for another win for both sides?
Yeah, and two of the losses are at the buzzer. One was on a free throw with less than 1 second left, and the first Indian Hills loss was a three-point heave at the buzzer that went down to beat them by one. So they have been in tight games all season long. They've won the vast majority of them, and this is a game that they should win. Honestly, you know, you look at it going forward, Dodge City is going to be favored in most of the rest of their games, and that, of course, they're going to lose some of those because the competitiveness of the Jayhawk Conference up and down the league. But Dodge City is in first place with both the men and the women. The men still ranked number 8 even after that loss. They actually jumped up a spot after the loss, playing that tough competitive schedule. The women ranked number 13 in the nation, and both of these teams right now are in the driver's seat alone in first. Independence has been better on the women's side than the men's side this year. The men got off to a really difficult start on offense, which is very unlike Independence. But the women are very well coached. Talk about the lineage with their head coach in Mark Turgeon's brother. And so obviously, if you know the name, if you're a college basketball fan, you know the name Mark Turgeon. He's at Jacksonville State now, spent some time at Maryland, Wichita State previously. He's bounced around quite a bit, but he has taken some really good teams. So the coaching pedigree at Independence on the women's side is very impressive, and I think they've got the better playmakers. So if I was trying to pick what will be a more competitive game tonight, I would go with the women. I think Dodge City, again, is favored to win both, but the women's game could be a little bit tighter. Of course, it's never easy to go on the road, especially to Independence, almost a five-hour road trip from Dodge City. That is not an easy ask on a Wednesday night to go all the way across the state to get a victory. So you always worry about that a little bit, especially for the women who have not played since December the 12th. And so they've had, you know, 3 weeks off to try to prepare for this game. So interesting storylines going into tonight, despite not looking like a great matchup on paper and one that Dodge City should win. There's a lot of factors that could bring this thing back and closer to being competitive ball games tonight.
Independence can be scrappy. We saw that when they played Garden City. You mentioned Mark Turgeon there, actually. I was watching the alma mater Ball State last night play Toledo on CBS Sports, and I heard a familiar voice, and I was like, is that really Mark Turgeon? Sure enough, it was. So Chick Hernandez and Mark Turgeon there, and he definitely, you can listen to guys who do color commentary, and you can always tell when a guy's been a player or when a guy was a coach, right? Or maybe both in some cases, but you could hear Coach Turgeon, if you will, coming out quite a bit. It was kind of fun to hear that and listen along to that. Last little thing we've got for us this morning, Garden City back in action as well. They're taking on Pratt tonight, 5:30, same time, 99.9 The Rock. As always, the home for all Garden City Community College athletics. First games back for Garden City since December 12th. They have had a little bit of a longer layover over the break from the first semester than Dodge City did. Sometimes that can be effective. Sometimes that can hurt you a little bit. You want to be a little bit more active, or maybe if you need the rest. And in the case of both teams, I would argue that both teams really could have used the rest, and they really have. Starting with the women, now 7-7, 3-5 in conference play, but after a 1-5 start, they won back-to-back games, knocking off Cowley and Northwest Kansas Technical College. I think those are nice wins for the women's team, who's going to get Demi Black back tonight. That is a player that Antoine Skills had been hoping to get before the end of the semester, but it is going to, at some point this second semester, we will see the debut, whether tonight or in the coming games, for Demi Black. And Coach Scales tells us that with her in the lineup, this is a different team, a team that he knows he's very, very confident in. And I would argue that the game against Cali was one of the best for Garden City, the one that they came off of with a win right there. You had Taya Davis, who went for a double-double, up to 13 assists. That's the most assists for her since she had a triple-double all the way back in November. It's been a while since they've gotten that type of play, at least distribution-wise, from Taya Davis, and the bench was right there. Destiny Smith had a career-high 6 three-pointers, 22 points. If Garden City can get that type of production by at least half from Destiny Smith off the bench, this is a much different team, because they've struggled to shoot the ball from beyond the arc. That'll be a big boost for them. I like their chances. I really do. against Pratt tonight. I think that this is an important game for Garden City to continue to rise up the echelon of the standings and kind of really establish themselves in the top four. That's been a tough spot for them to be. And then for the men at 9-4, 4-4 in conference play, really feel like they let that game against Cowley get away from them. I think we see a refocused team. Pratt really in the same spot as Garden City. They're winners of the three of their last four. They've got 7 wins on the year. Right there with Garden City at 4-5. Garden City sitting at 4-4 in conference play. I think that these are just big wins for Garden City to try to go out and get in 2 wins that they'll have to be razor focused in. Also do want to point to the scoring matchup we're going to have in the women's game tonight. Two of the top scorers, not two of, but literally two top scorers in the conference will go in action. Princess Anderson averaging 22.6 points for the Beavers. And then Deshauna Carter at 21.1. Those are your two top leading scorers on average in the Jayhawk Conference. So that's a matchup I can't wait to see. And then the men, I think, a great opportunity. Fingers crossed we'll have a good crowd. The students should be back. That's something we haven't been able to say in a little bit of time for Garden City. Derek, you know how it is in Dodge City, same as it is in Garden City. When the students are back, things are loud, and it can become a little bit more of a different environment for both sides and can give you that ad in the Jayhawk Conference where it can be so hard to win on the road for teams, and you definitely want all of the home court advantage you can get. But that gets us through our junior college coverage. Just a little bit of a preview. We'll talk about the results of those games, obviously, tomorrow as we just have a little bit more time. Derek, I don't want to fully dive into this, but we've got a few minutes here. I saw rumblings, and then they have obviously gone through an approval process, and they've talked about this, of an NCAA tournament expansion. Your raw emotion, your raw thoughts, what are you feeling on that?
Well, first of all, I don't think it has a very good chance of getting passed. I don't think this is actually going to come to fruition anytime very soon. And I know we keep seeing reports about the tournament expanding potentially and whatever. I think this is probably a years-off thing down the road if they consider it. And the number that I saw yesterday, the recommendation from the committee was to expand tournaments to 25% of the competing teams, which I think that's too much, personally. I don't like the expansion. 68, in my opinion, is basically the sweet spot for teams because 32 at-larges, 36 at-larges now, but you've got all I think it's 32 at-larges and 36 conferences, regardless of what that breakdown is, conference champions and then at-large bids. And if you ramp this thing up to 90, you're talking about teams that are, you're going to bring in, you know, who fills those spots, right? Everybody always wants to complain. Joe Lardy's a big proponent of this, wants to complain about power teams that are below 500 in their conference. I think about this being at Indiana the last couple of years, and they've been through this a couple of times trying to make the tournament, but being below 500 in their conference but still making the tournament. Well, if you expand the field to 90, you bet your bottom dollar that there are going to be some people in this tournament that are going to be well below 500. You could be talking about some Big Ten teams that are 8-12, 7-13 maybe, make the NCAA tournament. Is that right? I'm not the guy to necessarily answer that. And then, you know, especially for like the Big 12, you're going to talk about a team that's way below 500 because of the strength of schedule and the competition that they've played all year. So I think expanding to 90 would really help out power programs more than folks would like to believe, because I think you think about all the mid-majors in the past that have gone 30-5, you know, 30-5 trying to get into the NCAA tournament, 30-3, whatever, and they're right on the edge. Belmont's a good example a couple of years ago. And you always wonder, what's that going to do to a team? You know, are they legitimate in terms of getting in? Would you take that team, a 30-win team, and reward wins, or would you take a team that's been completely battle-tested but worn down, i.e. somebody from the Big 12, that maybe didn't have a great year in the conference, but they're still very good? To me personally, and you know, my personal opinion on the thing is I would always take a power conference team. And that's just because you know that they can beat quality opponents, and they have. I mean, you always, in my opinion, the wins that you have is what your season should be defined by in terms of who have you beaten, not how many teams have you beaten, who have you beaten. There's certainly something to be said for winning 30 games or 28 games or whatever over the course of a season plus a conference tournament. But then those teams that don't win their conference tournament, you know, I don't know. There's question marks there. So I know that's a long-winded answer, but to me, And we will unpack this more at a later time, especially if it gets approved or we hear more things about it potentially getting approved. I don't like it at all. I think it should stay at 68. I like where it's at. And you have to change the entire format and the structure of the tournament and introduce buys if you bring in 90 teams. And I don't like that at all.
Well, that, and you talked about the sub 500 teams probably getting in, and on paper you don't like it, but you're right. It's who you've beaten. And then the ultimate argument for that is, okay, well, those teams will get in and they'll go on a run, right? Because a team gets hot, that's sometimes what it comes down to. It's not necessarily just how good you are, but any team can truly make a run. We saw that with St. Peter's last year, Loyola Chicago a few years ago. Obviously, there's Cinderella after Cinderella we can name off, but that's always going to be the rebuttal is, well, teams have done in the past. Why can't they be 500 and go on a nice little run? Because I think you're right. It'll help out the Power 5 teams. We'll chat about it more. We'll talk about it, especially if it does, you know, really become a popular topic. But I saw that kind of running around in a few circles really yesterday morning and into this morning that's a conversation that is being had right now, and it could be a very real thing that we could experience. That's going to do it for us, though, today on the Morning Roundup, another edition down in the books on a Wednesday. We'll be back tomorrow morning, same time, same place, right here on 99.9 The Rock. If you're looking for more local sports coverage, go ahead and check out westernkansasnews.com. You can find all of our Morning Roundup episodes right there. We'll have them broken up and posted in our sports section. You can listen to all three segments from today's show. If you want more morning sports, that's where you're going to go. Or if you can't catch it there, just catch us live. Just go ahead and tune on in tomorrow. We appreciate it so much. For Derek Decker, I'm Baylen Height saying so long. Have a fantastic Wednesday, Southwest Kansas. We'll see you right back here tomorrow morning.